like old Stevie Wonder song, you think that's just funk?
Yeah, well, what's Stevie Ray Vaughan doing?
That's a different kind of funk. That's not so bow, 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 you know?
Voodoo, child. Mm-hmm.
You said something to me the other day,
look
too.
Look what I'm doing. I'm doing Butthole Surfers.
You,
it's super, Chuck.
The Seattle scene. This is the last thing I'll bug you about. The Seattle scene. What do you think of all that? It's like...
The bass player from Nirvana is from Pedro.
Oh, he is?
Pedro, he speaks fluent Yugoslav.
Oh, that's great. There's do you speak Yugoslavian?
Big man, too. Tall man. Yeah. And I look at his gig, Power Troika, you know? The kids right. picked him. I think MTV jumped on the bandwagon. I think they would have sold all them records without it.
Even just because of the, why do you think that is? Because the heavy sound,
or want to pick their own bands? Yeah. It happened to FM radio. It happened to MTV. You know.
So do you know Yugoslavian too?
Sold all them records without airplay.
Yeah.
Thank God for the left end of the dial, like you guys, right?
Right. We're 88.3. Did you know that out there? You can't get us to California, can you?
Maybe with the weather good.
Yeah. When the weather's real good, maybe you can get in a little bit. But it'll be crackly. So you said something about, I want to hear you speak Yugoslavian.
I can't. Oh, I can say something. Yab say.
What's that mean?
Or Tisi Maligovno.
What is like Pedro like inhabited all by people who settled in from Yugoslavia on the boats?
Yeah, my landlord. San Pedro's full of it, and Italians and
Latino,
and we're a mixed town. We're a harbor town. I'm 2 blocks from the fishing boats.
How far are you from L.A.?
Different part from L.A. Well, my mayor is Tom Bradley. That's how big L.A. is. I'm 30 miles from his office, though.
Uh-huh.
30 miles south of Hollywood.
Were you on the road when the riots went down?
Yeah.
Yeah, where were you?
Kira was here.
Where she was?
I was in Boston.
Anything happen?
Pedro, nothing. Oh, some mafia dude burned down his own construction.
That happens all the time, though, don't it?
This idiot said I went to school with this son.
How's the weather out there?
Oh, well, yeah, it's fine. Maybe 75 during the day.
You know, the Reds creamed the Dodgers last week.
Slaughtered,
yeah, we slaughtered you. Yeah. Just see Belcher pitch against you guys?
Yeah, he lost. Did we beat Belcher?
Hey, how come Eric Davis ain't playing?
Or Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah, what's with those
bad
guys?
Bad back and mad. They're cripplers.
Think they're living high on the hog?
No. They're from around here, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I think they're hurting. I think they're hurting crew. They're damaged goods. We shouldn't have got rid of Belcher and Morgan.
Do you think they're really hurt, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, you really think they really did sprain their ankles?
I really do.
You really do?
Yeah, I think they want to play for our town. They're from our town. Crenshaw and Locke, you know?
You think Eric
grew up with
Eric Davis and Daryl Strawberry really want to play baseball?
Yeah, it's for L.A.
You think they do?
Shoot, if we could have got Hubie Blake and then Eddie Murray, too, man. Those are L.A. guys.
I hope you do, too, because next time around we're going to cream you again.
Yeah, maybe. Good chance. I don't know, man. Padres are playing good.
Mm-hmm.
They're Dodgers are playing really bad. They're under 500. And Steve Howe, ex-Dodger, caught with the Chochos.
Yeah.
I'm more basketball, man. What do you think? Portland or Chicago?
Chicago.
Yeah, okay.
No question about it. They beat Cleveland, man. Although that's not hard. So I didn't know Firehose were a bunch of sports-loving guys. Sports rockers.
Me and Pettibone's Vice is inner city basketball, high school basketball. We see like 50 games a year. We're really, a lot of that stuff is too big in rock star, you know, but the little stuff is intense.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, real quick, I'm going to let you go. What's after the album?
All right, another tour.
Another tour. When you come through Cincinnati, give us a little ring.
Bogarts.
You can play Bogarts again.
That's one of the only towns outside L.A. that we did twice in 1 week.
Yeah, did you like it? Did you have fun?
Was it the same pad? Yeah, you know, after 20 tours, I haven't really done that. It was intense.
What did you like about Cincinnati?
I liked it. Huh?
Did you like do any partying while you were here? Drink beer? Go to any restaurants? Anything like that?
I can't remember. I don't think so. I was selling shirts and stuff. I went to your record store.
Yeah. Did you buy anything?
Yeah. All kinds. You got Live Sex Pistols.
Oh, wait, you bought some Jimi Hendrix record too, didn't you?
Huh?
You bought some Jimi Hendrix record too, didn't you?
Jimi Hendrix, Steve, my sound man, loves.
The moon turns the tide gently.
I think he's all right, you know, some of it.
Mm-hmm.
I like Billy Cox better than Noel Redding. That's my opinion. That's my position.
A lot of people do, you know, except for like the guys that listen to...
Do you know the story how he picked Noel Redd?
No.
He came into a room, and he said, I like the way he's dressed.
Yeah?
Never heard him play. Noel Redd was a guitar player. He thought he was going to play backup lead guitar to him.
Man, guys get the gigs in the weirdest ways.
Yeah.
Ed from Ohio. You know, I'm going to show up
on
your doorstep someday.
I bought him his first amp.
You did?
Yeah, he's an acoustic guitar player. Yeah.
If I bring my piano over to your house, would you buy me an amp?
I like power trikes.
Okay, well, we're going to roll. Thanks for your call. Take it easy. Make a great record.
Okay, I'll see you guys in the fall.
All right, see you, Mike. Thanks.
Bye.
Man, that was pretty psychedelic. That song totally just repeated itself there. The Ramones there. Fast Eddie's on the line. Hello, Fast Eddie.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up with you, Eddie?
Hey, you played a good tune before I came on.
Hey, you like the
that
Ramones, huh?
That doesn't happen often.
What's on your mind tonight, Eddie? Before we talk to Mike Watt about what it's like to be in a punk rock band, we were talking to Doc here about the plight of the not-so-fortunate in Cincinnati.
Well, maybe we should talk about Fast Eddie's failed political science career first.
Who's that?
Okay, Eddie, go. Tell us about your failed political science
career. Who was that that just talked?
That was my friend Doc, who's sitting in with the Chris and Rob show tonight.
Oh, and so what are you talking about? The plight of Cincinnati's
Over the Rhine.
Talking a little bit about Over the Rhine. We're eating pizza too. Thanks to Papa John's.
Give us your impressions, Fast Eddie. Give us your wealth of wisdom.
Well, I think that Over the Rhine has.
Have you ever been there, Fast Eddie?
What?
Have you ever been there, Fast Eddie?
No. Oh, no, never. I'm a total dilettante. I don't go to places like that. I mean, of course I've been there.
Ah, your patrician standards defy me.
Is this guy not like me or something?
Hey, Eddie, are you really a failed political science student?
Heck no.
Okay.
So, is there people there that don't like me or something?
Not at all.
Oh. Fast Eddie, are you paranoid?
No, not at all.
You're a little paranoid, Eddie.
I'm not even afraid of ghosts. I'm living in a house with a ghost right now.
Tell us a little bit about that ghost real quick.
Kind of like Norman's mother.
There's also female laughter there, too.
That's Elvira.
Chris and Rob's hair.
Elvira, that's an original name.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show would like to thank Elvira and Papa John's for bringing us some fine pie tonight.
Because Fast Eddie didn't come through.
Uh-huh. All she said is thank you.
Well, actually, all right, I started to tell about Over the Rhine. I think that Over the Rhine has the potential to be as some local journalists have written, it has the potential to be a great tourist attraction. But, see, the thing is, when I'm there...
Where are we going to hide the poor, Eddie?
Hide the poor? No need to hide the poor, just give them jobs. I see a neighborhood...
Hey, there's no need to hide the poor, we can just... Give them some little rubber balls to play with and a big thing of salt that they can lick on.
No, get them
and we can set up a habitat much like their own habitat at home. And we can just kind of let them play. And then, like, at the end of each street, maybe we can have a place you could buy one of them Frosties or one of the big Icies, you know, and make Coca-Cola-flavored Icy Colas or, like, snow cones, something like that.
Well, see, the thing
what do you think? Ferris wheel?
You know, unfortunately, a lot of people scoff at the idea of enterprise. You know, it's too bad. I think, when I see over
this
the
is
Rhine.
A perfect opportunity, isn't it? We could do posters. Posters could say, come see the homeless over the Rhine.
No,
come
I mean,
see Fast Eddie's concentration camp.
Well, I've seen that in Over the Rhine, I see a neighborhood that has so much potential but needs to be fixed up, and I see the people standing around there, the people that can do it. And why that those one and one isn't brought together to make two really confounds my understanding.
I agree with you completely, Fast Eddie. I think the poor people should all go downtown to the small businesses downtown and demand to be given money.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the thing is, people that live in Over the Rhine cannot expect anything from anyone else. They should know from bitter experience. But if they were somehow able to get together and buy the land that they're living on, and do something with it. I mean, the potential is unlimited.
How do you suggest that they buy that land?
Get together, pool money, and buy it.
They don't have any money to feed their kids, Eddie.
I think they can come up with money if they... See, the thing that's mostly preventing them is not getting together. Individually, I agree. Individually, these persons are quite powerless individually and have all they can do to feed themselves, but... And that's one of the biggest problems of humanity is, you know, we have trouble...
Trusting.
Cooperating. Well, even... It's a real big deal if two people ever get together and work together on something. That's quite difficult. Just two people, never mind a whole bunch. But I wish that it would happen. I wish that they would say, hey, this is our... I'm not just talking about Over the Rhine. I'm talking about everywhere.
Well, Eddie...
Yeah.
I would think a good capitalist would see that that's a money-making idea and perhaps lend them the money.
This is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they should be given. I'm saying that some capitalists should see the potential. You know, I'm not saying that anybody should give anybody anything. I'm saying this could be a partnership. This could be a good deal for someone who has money to invest.
But what are they going to actually do with the neighborhood to make anyone want to go there?
Oh, geez, it's unbelievable. The potential is incredible.
Besides the architecture, is that what you're talking about?
Well, no, not only that. Architecture, gosh.
Garbage?
Music, but you know, for example, as a local journalist has said, you know, the French Quarter in New Orleans, that could be a small version of that, something like that. If you look at it, there is the potential. It's just that people see, as it is now, you know, like Smiling Sam's used furniture store, they think, oh, these are the buildings of Over the Rhine, and they just write the whole place off. You know, it's too bad. I see real potential. I mean, just the colors when you go by there. I mean, just if you try to look at the buildings and try to imagine them fixed up and cleaned up, it's quite a colorful place just to look at.
How do you feel about the depression down there?
Well, I don't think it's just over there. I think there's a lot of depression.
I agree.
Well, not only the poor. See, the thing is, the poor, as you said, it's hardest to advance the poor than it is to advance anybody, but... If you go up the economic scale, you find that people who are, let's say, middle income, have it even worse in a way. I mean, not in a bare subsistence level. They got, you know, food, shelter, and all that, but they got no money. Like, right now, there are so many people who work very hard, who are putting in 60, 70 hours a week. You know, they get up at 5 a.m., they don't get home till like 9:30 p.m. just working and working and making pretty decent money, some of them too, but it's just gone. It's just their resources that they're working so hard to build are just sucked away from them by first the government and then everything connected with the government is just putting them in this bizarre position of having a great job at great wages, but no money in their pocket, no money invested, no money saved, nothing. Just, you know, like a hamster just running on the wheel week after week, throwing enough money to the credit card companies to just keep, you know, keep things cool. So they end up.
You had to work that hamster thing into it again, Eddie. We've told you about that over and over again.
What?
That hamster
thing. Animal
rights
people? You're gonna
yeah.
Be, yeah, right. Okay. I forgot about that.
Great. Next comes the sleeve of rancid popcorn.
Yeah. Oh, this guy doesn't like me too much, does he? Gosh. Oh, man.
Hey, he's just rehashing Eddie's greatest hits.
Yeah, a guy that doesn't like me, I got a question for you. Did you read my debut article in Everybody's News?
Yes, I did.
I suspected you did because you seemed to think that I don't like the homeless and the poor or something like that.
Well, not like is a strong word. Insensitive, maybe, is what I was...
You really think I'm insensitive to him?
Well, your article was sort of bleak, yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is I was reporting very factually what happened to me. See, the thing is, I was going to write my debut article for those guys on another topic, but the day I went down to the office there downtown to discuss my first article, that's what happened to me. That's just the story of my bus trip from Clifton to downtown. And I just thought, geez, this makes a story because I'm just getting accosted everywhere. And... You know, it's funny because some of the people are obvious, and it's funny that they make a political issue out of it because, you know, they have this line like, oh, I'm somehow the privileged upper class and I owe them something, when in fact they were maybe wearing $1,200 worth of clothes. You know, and they're, I don't know, it's just unbelievable. See, this kind of terrorism that's going on.
Oh, I agree with you completely.
The real needy, the real, really needy people don't bug people. That's why they are so needy. They don't harass, bug, and intimidate people into giving them stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you a story. Me and Chris went through Over the Rhine tonight. We went over to East Clifton. We were going to pick up a guy by the name of Virgil Howe, who is a panhandler down in Over the Rhine, works Vine Street pretty hard. And I don't know, Chris, I was scared out of my mind getting out of the car and knocking on that door.
Yeah, I was scared more just because of the whole prevailing attitude of it, not because anyone was really threatening me at the time, but
just the silence in the street. You could hear everything.
Dead quiet, just like in that Batman movie.
Yeah. You know what's really terrible about, sad about Over the Rhine, what's kind of disturbing to me is we've, you know, just discussed the state of that neighborhood, and when you go along the main street of Over the Rhine, the businesses that you see, you know, I look at those businesses and I get a bit angry because the businesses are stores that sell $200 sneakers. How about the blood donor place next door to the liquor store?
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's like, talk about a direct slap in the face insult to the people of that neighborhood. I know the people in the neighborhood didn't say, put a plasma place next to this liquor store. I know that the people in the neighborhood had nothing to do.
And how about
that
the Kroger's on Vine Street, Chris?
Oh my gosh. I'm glad you mentioned that. I go to usually the University Plaza Kroger's, and I've been to some nice Kroger's like the Hyde Park one and stuff. And I see, I mean, it's such a, that should be a clear signal to the people of Over the Rhine that they have to get together and do it for themselves because...
Yeah, they're definitely being jerked around.
Oh,
if you've looked
geez.
At the prices in that Kroger...
Oh, see, the thing is, I'd shudder at the thought of even going in. I see the place on the outside, and I go, my God, look what they did.
The Kroger's in the Over the Rhine is the most expensive Kroger's in town. If you go to any other Kroger's out in the suburb, you'll find that the prices are a little more, shall we say, competitive.
Humane.
And that,
yeah,
that
because out there, you know, if you live in the suburbs, if you live in Hyde Park and you're shopping at Kroger's or Thriftway or A&P or wherever... You got a car and you got ample transportation. You can go to whoever's got the best price. I know because my grandma does. All right? But downtown and Over the Rhine, these people, they only got one grocery store, and it's Kroger's. They don't have transportation to go to the Norwood Kroger's or to go to the Avondale Kroger's. And that Kroger's, thus, has jacked the prices up to the point where it is the most expensive Kroger's in town.
Yeah.
And the cheapest Kroger's are the ones in the suburbs.
And that Kroger's in Over the Rhine, it's designed like a dog kennel. It's like, the way it looks like, And not only that, see, like I said, the main thing is this kind of, like, if I was in that neighborhood, I would, I mean, and, you know, a lot of the residents in the neighborhood are saying this kind of stuff, you know, are saying, why are the big businesses, $200 sneaker stores and blood plasma banks for people who don't even have healthy blood to go donate a pint so they can get some wine next door? I mean, that
tuberculosis down there is just incredible.
Oh,
it's epidemic level.
It's so horrible that if I was in that neighborhood, I would be so... Whoever put that... I'm sure it's got something to do with the government. Whoever put that blood bank there, I mean, I would just say, hey, what's the story here? How much more open can you be about insulting us or putting a big liquor store and a big blood donor place next door to each other? I mean, what kind of a message is that? You know, I mean, what logic? Hey, well, this will be so convenient. They'll all come in and donate a pint of blood and go walk next door to get their bottle. It's sickening. And those stores that sell the $200 sneakers are the most grossly lit up neon stores I've ever seen in my life. Those stores look like belong on East 142nd Street in New York, you know, the main red light district of New York. That's what those stores...
53rd and 3rd.
It looks like you're going through some kind of combat zone, red light district type place. And all it is, you know, showing you that those stores are so successful that they can afford that kind of lighting to draw more people like flies to sell them sneakers, the price of which could feed a person for a year.
Have you seen the way Smitty's is all lighted up?
Yeah. It's, hey, I agree, it's horrible.
It looks like a whorehouse.
And some of the rest of Cincinnati is, I mean, over the Rhine isn't the only place. And I, you know, it's too bad because I don't know why people don't. I mean, people that going downtown, you have to go through, even if you don't want to go there, you got to go through over the Rhine going downtown, and people just go through it. And I guess, like you said, it doesn't affect them enough when they go through it. You know, they just kind of tune it out.
Why do you think that is?
Because they don't. Most people are so absorbed in their own problems, their own struggle to stay at their own socioeconomic level that they don't think in terms of the whole community, which is really ridiculous, really suicidal. Most American, and Cincinnati is far from the worst. Believe me. I mean, Cincinnati is not a bad city at all.
No Boston stories.
No Boston stories at all. But I'm just saying, Cincinnati's not a bad city at all compared to a hell of a lot of other cities. But the way these cities are structured is like, there's just no logic to it at all.
Hey, Eddie?
Yeah?
Rob says that the Red Sox suck this year.
Yeah. Clemens is doing good. The rest of them are horrible.
Hey, we're going to move on, Eddie, because you're sucking up a lot of time. It's still early in the show, and people are getting busy signals.
Oh, okay.
Nothing personal.
Okay.
Later. We love you, baby. Come forever. 749-1444 is the number.
Croatia, a land with a culture that is really old, 1,300 years, yearns for peace and freedom. Croatia may not realize her dream unless we help. The Serbian Yugos army's war against these young emerging democracies has destroyed entire towns, homes, hospitals, schools, and 300 churches. 700,000 people are homeless, without food, medical supplies, or clothing. You can help by telling your congressman to ask for humanitarian aid, and also by making a tax-deductible donation for food and personal hygiene and items to the Croatian Foundation of America, 3276 Jefferson Avenue, Cincinnati, 45220.
You should always have a pen and pencil handy when tuning into the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Let's go to Howie.
Howie, go ahead.
Yeah. This is getting back to before you're talking about...
Speak up, Howie.
Okay. Is this better?
A little. Keep it coming.
All right. You're talking about people who come up wanting money with their kids with them.
Yeah.
They haven't eaten. And like, I know, I think a lot of people aren't even sure that if you give them the money, you know, it'll even get to the kids at all. Or just anyone.
And if
in
it
general,
does, they buy them chocolate bars.
I mean, if you're anywhere downtown, you can't be too far from some kind of fast food place. I think it's easier and probably better. It might be just better off for the kids just to take them, you know, take them into McDonald's and buy them a Happy Meal. It's like $2.22, I think, for a cheeseburger Happy Meal.
Yeah.
instead of just giving them the money, you're making sure that they're getting the food.
Kind of makes you wish you walked around with a bag of vegetables all the time.
Yeah.
Is that all you have to say?
Well, I was reading about, he said before that he considered it a right, just to have a place to live. And if you go to places like Holland, that's pretty much how the government's set up. That's your right. And if you want to be homeless, you kind of have to work at it to not have anywhere to go. I think that's...
Do you really believe that?
What?
Do you really believe you have to work at being homeless?
Not here. But, I mean, I'm saying in other countries where it's not even considered an option.
I know a guy named Ray. He is out on the street right now. He used to be a corporate lawyer, has a master's degree, went to all the East Coast schools, and now he's on the streets. He had some family problems with his wife, got a divorce, he went to drink, now he has nothing. How you feel about guys like this?
I think it's just ridiculous. It's not just lower income people who worry about it. It's middle class and upper middle class.
Yeah,
who have to worry about, will I come home tomorrow and find out that I have nothing?
That's really the only reason why I came on the show tonight. I just want to give, Chris and Rob's listeners the harsh fact that this could happen to you. I mean, it happened to Ray, and he wasn't ready for it. Now Ray's got all of his teeth missing, black eyes, cut head, using the bathroom in his pants most of the time.
Howie, you could be next.
Good. I know a lot of the stuff that goes on in that area, because my stepmom teaches at Washington Park. And she teaches it's a behavioral handicap class, which is like the kids that are like too wild to be the other kids, And she does a lot of work like out of school, or she'll like bring the kids home, bring like one or two kids here, and just some of those. I mean, a lot of it just goes back to the parents. What do these kids have? They have absolutely nothing to look forward to, and no real chance to get out.
How can we get them out?
It's a good question.
All right, see you later, Howie.
All right.
That was quick, Rob. What's the matter, Rob? You didn't like Howie?
No, Howie was boring as all hell.
Why? What made you say that? Howie's one of our faithful listeners.
Because he talked real low and quiet and in a monotone, and it was just not getting it.
Howie, are you learning something? Rob's got an attitude the size of the Titanic, but you got a lot to learn, too.
Put a little inflection in your voice next time, Howie.
Yeah, like this.
That serious He-Man ball! What do men do when life gets serious? They play hoops, of course. And when these guys play ball, they play serious ball.
Yeah!
In this brand new play... What the hell?
That was a big basketball cheer.
Okay, in this brand new, spanking new play by Alonzo D. Lamont Jr., 330-something African-American, and news about life, love, happiness, and jump shots. That serious He-Man ball is the name of the play, and if you want tickets, call 421-3556 down at the Ensemble Theater.
Is that pronounced ensemble or ensemble?
That's it, the second one, B.
Ensemble?
Right.
I don't know, Doc, how would you pronounce it, ensemble or ensemble?
Oh, definitely the second.
Ensemble? Sheldon, how would you pronounce it, ensemble or ensemble?
Howdy.
Howdy. You didn't answer my question. You say tomato, I say tomato. What's on your mind tonight, Sheldon? I haven't heard from you in a while.
I know, man. What's up?
What's up? What's on your mind tonight?
Nothing.
You know what's up with us. We're talking about the plight of the homeless.
Is Smitty's really a whorehouse?
I don't know. Doc, is Smitty's really a whorehouse?
No, it's really a clothing store. It
looks like. Well, I mean, seriously. Because, I've been propositioned out in front of there before. And they don't sell $200 pair of sneakers in there. They're about $110. But that's still a little bit too much for
something. Tell me something, Sheldon. Do you need it really bad?
Do I would need what?
You must.
Not really. You know what's scary, man? Besides being in, downtown. We're going to be sitting at 12 o'clock in Northside on Nolan's Corner steps with a black girl being white. That's pretty scary. Because, white people are driving by looking at you all funny. And black people are driving by looking at you all funny. because you don't know if you're about to get some by black people or white people.
Let me ask you something there, Sheldon there, guy. Does it bother you, or does it not matter at all because you love the person you're with?
Well, she was just a friend, but...
She was just a friend. But is she a friend? A true friend?
Well, I mean, it doesn't bother me, but you know.
Okay, why are you letting it get to you?
Huh?
Why are you letting it get to you, guy? You weak?
I don't know, man. You know what? You all talking about homeless people?
Hold on, Sheldon. I got a tip for you.
What?
Go into Smitty's, ask for some bright red gym shorts, and then you'll get the special treatment.
Yeah. Say, Vanna, I'd like to have an E. Say, I'd like to buy an E, Vanna.
Anyway, where I work at, there's this guy that comes in there a lot. He's a homeless guy, and he...
Where you work, Sheldon?
McDonald's. In Clifton.
What do you do? Are you the guy that dunks the fries, flips the burgers, or puts the money in a drawer?
I do everything.
Do everything? Yeah. Multi-talented. Are you the guy that plants the seeds for the hamburger trees to grow?
I'm multi-talented.
Do yourself a favor, man. Always keep your buns stocked. Check your buns all the time. Because I'll tell you, I just got fired from McDonald's about 4 years ago for not having my buns stocked.
Yeah.
It was a mess.
I used to work at a pizza place, and I got fired for putting garbage in somebody's front seat of their car.
There's this guy that comes in there a lot, and he wears glasses, and he has like a real long beard and like real long hair, and he wears like a bathrobe, and then over top of it he wears like a pimp daddy coat. And this guy will sit in our store and he'll write, like, just scribbling, but it's like an actual language, but it's his own language. And this guy amazes me because he'll sit there and write like about 50 pages in a notebook a night. And I mean, you know, I'll walk by and I'll ask him, what is he writing? And he said, you know, he'll like, he talks real funny. He's like, I'm writing a book or something. And I'll be like, what's it about? And he'll say, one time he was like, about competition. And I just thought, that is so cool. I mean, you know, if you, like, people, when they're writing a book, they'll be like, well, I'm writing this about a guy named Mo, and he's hanging out with Curly and Joe, and they're playing basketball or something. But he was like, I mean, he didn't give no details except it's about competition. And you couldn't read it. So he's the only person that could read it. But I just like him. I think he's pretty cool.
It's interesting, Sheldon, that when this reality isn't good enough for you, but there's no place else to go, you make up your own reality. What is your reality, Sheldon? What is your reality?
Are you like a psychiatrist or something? Because you talk all very... I don't know.
Doc just asks the scathing questions.
So you guys think that downtown is scary?
No, we don't think downtown is scary.
You said you were scared to go to downtown.
I was scared on East Clifton Avenue. That's not all of downtown now, is it?
Well, I'm just saying, that's downtown.
Okay. Be a little more specific. Now I remember why we used to make fun of you so much, Sheldon.
Why?
Because you're goofy.
So?
It's good to have you back in the flock, though, Sheldon. We forgot you're not scared of anybody because you play football for Aiken.
Nah. Man, but
so you got any Stones Licks rehearsed for us, Sheldon?
Do what?
Any Stones Licks rehearsed for us?
Anyway, my band is in the Rumble.
What band is that?
What band?
Bill Jack.
Bill Jack.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's a dog biscuit, ain't it?
No, Bill Jack is a dog biscuit. Bill Jack is a band.
Oh, okay.
B-E-E-L.
Oh, I get it. They're being clever.
Yeah. Well, actually, we just couldn't think of no name.
Kind of like spelling Striper with a Y, right?
Oh, yeah. But, what was I going to say? Oh, anyway, sitting down on this corner with a fairly attractive black woman was kind of scary. We were just sitting down there talking, and like, this car drove up, and it stopped, and it backed up.
Thank you.
WAIF with the Chris Rob late night talk show. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing?
Have any one of you got? This is a question for Chris and Rob. Have one of you guys like been in the world's best yogurt?
This is like Jimi Hendrix, man. Put it right here. Right there.
Woo!
What the hell? It's like Jimi Hendrix. What do you think of this, Phil?
Oh, it's cool.
Okay.
Have any of you guys been in, like, I don't know what one this was, Chris or Rob, but been in the world's best yogurt shop lately?
What yogurt shop is that?
TCBY.
You know, that's the name, the world's best yogurt.
The world, you mean TCBY?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been in there.
I think it's the country's best yogurt, though.
The country, oh, yeah.
Hence the C instead of a W.
Yeah. Did one of you guys give a girl your phone number to tell her to call you?
Yeah, it was me.
Who's me?
Perv? You perv? What's so perv about that? I'm spreading the gospel of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show to as many people as
I can. Oh, you gave her this number?
Yeah.
Oh, you gave her your personal number. Chris line number.
Oh, that too.
So, does she happen to call you?
Not to my knowledge.
Huh.
She should, though. She's beautiful.
Yeah, I know her.
Mm-hmm.
She's my girlfriend.
Oh, really? Ah! Well, congratulations. You got a good one there.
Hey, man, I like it, man. I mean, same kind of taste.
Great talk show, isn't it?
Huh?
Great talk show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, you're a member of the Chris and Rob family now.
Yeah. What's up with the music you guys playing tonight? I mean, usually don't play this kind of music.
Yeah, you like it?
Well, I like, this is the kind of music you listen to, but usually play like Frank Sinatra and...
Yeah, we like Frank Sinatra too.
You got the box set?
No, I don't. I don't collect box sets. I collect original pressings of LPs.
Oh, that's cool.
We're real purists that way.
Hmm.
You know, with the original poster and everything.
Yeah. We got, like, a real homeless problem, eh?
Yeah, we sure do.
Hey.
You want to talk to Doc about it?
I don't really have nothing to really say. I mean, they asked
Yeah, but you're going out with a girl that works in a yogurt place. What do they do with all the yogurt when it's at the end of the day? What are they going to do, throw it away?
Pitch it, yeah.
They just throw all that yogurt away? What a waste.
See, what's really, like, gets to me is, I used to work at this retirement center called, Colonial Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And they would fix, like, they got a certain budget, like, you know, to make the food. And, like, they would make so much, like, no one would eat, like, that much, you know? Mm-hmm. What to do would they just pitch it out. And, like, I offered to take it to, like, you know, the people, like, homeless people. But they said they couldn't let me.
Why not?
They said it was against the rules.
Against
you know, it was like, the Colonial
against
Heights
whose rules?
Paid for that.
Yeah, against whose rules?
I don't know.
The rules of the restaurant?
No, it's not a restaurant. It's like a retirement center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mean like an old age home?
Yeah, it's like, you know, they go and retire. Mm-hmm. You know, and...
Hard telling. You'd probably have to talk to the management of that particular retirement center.
Yeah, no, and, like, what really got to me, like, it was, like they come down to the dining room at, like, 5 and 6, different, you know? And, like, mm-hmm. they rush them in, rush them out, and it's pretty expensive. And I, like, grabbed a roll to, like, to eat, you know? Like, between that thing, they made me throw it away, saying I couldn't eat that.
That's pretty silly. Did you punch anybody?
Huh?
Did you punch anybody?
Oh, no.
Should've.
Yeah, I know.
Especially some old lady.
They throw out food. I know it could feed 15 people. Easy. I mean, easy. Feed 15 people.
Now, you're calling us from a payphone tonight, right?
Yeah.
Where at?
Florence. On Mall Road.
Florence, Kentucky?
Yeah.
Really? What are you doing way down there? You live down there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So, is there anybody else out on the street tonight?
No.
No, you're the only one out there, huh?
Yep.
At the payphone.
I was kind of, you know, just...
What made you stop at a payphone to call us?
Well, I was listening to you on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped. Call.
Well, that's nice. Thanks.
Yeah,
well,
man. Wait, I just wanted to see if you remembered, you know. Sarah's her name.
Sarah? Tell her I said hello. Send her my love.
What one is this? Chris or Rob?
Wait, hold on. Doc is suggesting we start a letter-writing campaign against Colonial Heights.
You should. I'm serious.
What do you think?
It's located in Florence, Kentucky.
Well, how long ago was this?
How long? 1 month ago.
They
still do it today because my sister works there.
Okay, so the name of the retirement home is Colonial Heights, and it's located in, where'd you say, Kentucky?
Florence, Kentucky.
Florence, Kentucky.
On Hopeful Road.
On where?
Hopewell Road.
Hopewell Road.
Yes.
Look it up, everybody. Write them a letter. Tell them they're full of crapola for not taking some of that food and giving it to people who are hungry.
That's true, man. I mean,
it's... Get it started. Get it organized. Get back with us next week, and we'll put all the information on the radio.
Cool, man.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Later.
Later. The phone number here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show is 749-1444. We accept all your calls. I'm Chris.
Hi, you're on Chris
and Rob. Too late. I already got in. Hey, this one again. This is Chester again.
Chester T?
Yeah.
Chester T. Hey, lay a rhyme on us, will you?
No. I would, but first of all, who is Doc?
Who is Doc? Doc, introduce yourself.
Doc works out front on the 1100 block on Vine Street. He does sweeping, so he runs into quite a few people from around the corner on Tender Mercies.
Are you the homeless person they were talking about?
No, Doc himself is not homeless.
Oh, okay.
In fact, Doc himself is living high on the hog.
Really?
Wouldn't you say so?
Oh, not exactly.
Eating a lot of steak hoagies with pickles on them?
Not exactly.
Wouldn't you say onions, that sort of thing? Drinking beer, smoking dope, that sort of thing?
Nah, I've been listening since I tuned in there too. I don't know, Fast Eddie, I don't know why they call you Fast, because you take a long time.
I heard that.
You know, I have no disrespect,
hey,
man.
Chester, you know, there's something I got to tell you.
You are really long-winded, man. I heard you call on every program, including my own, but,
whew. Hey, listen, Chester, I got a rhyme to lay on you.
Yeah.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show is brought to you in part by Fast Eddie and Kump. That's Kump.
Kump.
Kump. Vocally and musically terrorizing Cincinnati since 1991. As Fast Eddie says,
it's good to clean your pipes.
No. Something like that. Once again, that's Kump. C-U-M-P, Kump. That's your Kump announcement, Chester.
Is that really true?
You guys don't do that on Rhyme Time, do you?
Nah, I haven't started that yet, now. But
you know why?
Why?
Because you haven't hit the big time like Chris and Rob have.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I have to stay down with the lowest of people. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we...
You know, they're getting us out in California right now. Because the weather's good.
Somebody actually called our program with somebody on the phone from California. Mm-hmm. Can't remember. Zone someone. I mean, anyway. But either way, what you were talking about earlier, not the homeless people. And all that, Doc, I was strongly suggest that while you're getting all these people on the phone, making them think, you also motivate them to move. Because you're having these people think, which is good, which is real good. But a lot of times we sit and do enough thinking and not enough
acting
and getting together.
You got a good point there, Chester.
I hear that.
So,
I'll tell you something, Chester, though. You got to keep one thing in perspective.
Yep.
You're dealing with the mentality of, I won't say any names, but you know who's called tonight. Do these people sound to you like people who do a whole lot of moving?
To the people who call tonight.
Or do they sound like the kind of people that do a lot of sitting? And radio listening.
Uh-huh.
And telephone calling.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Well, I can say this much to Chris and Rob's listeners tonight. It would be a good idea to get downtown and check out what's going on. See if it makes you angry. Talk to people down there. You'd be surprised how happy you can make some of those people down there, how you can make their day just by listening to them for 5 minutes.
Yeah, you got a point.
Let me pose a question to both of you, Chester and Doc, and my co-host, Rob. I have a question for all of you. I'm even going to let Rob answer it first. What are the pros and cons of actually giving a guy change when he says, hey, can you spare a quarter? Give the guy a quarter or not?
The con is he'll ask for it the next time he sees you again.
The pro is it going to hurt you if he does ask you again?
It's a con if you don't want to be bothered.
What's bothered? It's much more things that can bother me besides some person asking me for a quarter.
Is it any of my business what he spends that quarter on? For example, is he going to buy wild turkey with it or a sandwich?
He can't afford wild turkey, believe that. No. Wild Irish Rose
is the drink. That's what I was thinking of. I don't drink that stuff myself.
No,
that's what I was thinking of.
To me, it makes no difference because he's going to get it either way it goes. He's going to keep asking and keep asking, be persistent and on until he gets that quarter. So why don't he think somebody else is good for? Why don't he think that I'm the good person and give it to him? Now I may add something with that quarter, like here's something else you can use, or why don't I see you next time and maybe I can take you to eat and we can eat together and you can talk or find some way. you know, just throwing out a quarter, sometimes that's not enough. Even though that's all they ask for, you know, if they ask for a quarter, you give them a dollar, they'll be much more happier. So just don't give them a quarter, give them a little something extra. Not the money side, but a little more.
You got a good point, Chester. And what I personally recommend is that you buy them food. Not even give them the money necessarily. I would recommend you give them food.
That's me. That's what I would say too. Or if it's a clothing thing, it's Salvation Army stores everywhere. So you know, it's probably one. It should be one. Is it one over the round? I don't know. That's not one of the neighborhoods that I.
Yeah, there is one on Ray Street.
Okay, I thought it should be, but it's not one of the neighborhoods I travel through intensely, even though I walk through them all the time. To all those people who drive cars like you does, say, please, you know, get out, take a walk. Because you have to understand that a civilization will not rise to as low as people rise up. And that's the truth. The rich keep rising up. We ain't going nowhere till the low people rise up.
I heard that. Power to the workman's blue.
All right. Well, I'm not going to take up time. And
I got one more question for you, Chester, a little off the topic.
What's that?
Seems to me that you're an acquaintance of someone else who used to call our show regularly, someone by the name of Gregory Reese.
Yep.
Can we talk about him behind his back for a second?
Hey.
Here's what I want to know. I want the real poop. He used to work at BP. Yep. Did he quit or did he get fired and what for?
Honestly, I don't know. And
yeah, you do.
I will tell you the truth, honestly, and I'm an honest person. I really do not know. Because it wasn't something I was worried about.
I think
big corporation like BP is going to make the man disappear. I'm telling you.
BP's big.
Give him a call. Make sure he's still alive.
But the thing is, since you're right, I am a friend of Greg, and this is a biased opinion, that I trust his word. And since I do trust his word, he says he quit. I believe him.
You're too nice, man. You're too nice. Here's a friend of yours, man, who you can just totally poke at right now. And you're not poking away.
You gotta know me, man. I never poke at anybody. I do not stab people in the back. I have
a theory.
Yep.
I have a theory that while he was working, he was smoking lots of packs of cigarettes that are already there, not paying for him, drinking a lot of beer there.
No way.
It's not his.
I worked
not
at BP, and that couldn't happen.
Oh man,
could
now
not
you,
happen.
Now you're just making up a completely.
That's what I think. And
tale.
Calling talk shows a lot. Calling late night talk shows.
Now you just making up a complete fairy tale, man.
Customers would come in and say, "I'd like to have $5 of a super unleaded." He just ignores them because he's calling some late night talk show or something.
He just sticks the phone up under and say, "Hey, talk to these people for a minute."
I'm just making fun. Tell Greg we love him and we miss him.
I don't think he's. I don't know. Maybe he's listening or not. I just called or paged him rather, and I don't know if he's listening.
He's got a pager.
Yeah, that's how you reach him.
He's got a pager.
That's how you reach him through a pager.
What business is he in?
Music business. He owns his own record label.
He owns his own record. What's he doing working at the BP then?
Oh, you have to have money to start out with anywhere. But he's not working there anymore. So.
Does he drive a Benzo too?
No, oh no.
Has he got any gold?
Nope.
No. I'm just making fun.
Nope.
All right, thanks for your call, and hey, listening audience, WIF tomorrow night, rhyme time, catch it. Later, Chester. 749-1444.
In my extensive travels in the third world, I just saw so much begging and poverty. I just got a really thick skin to the whole idea. And then I can walk by people who are asking for money now, and it doesn't bother me in the least. Am I cold, Chris?
You're not cold. You're just sufficiently human.
I'm just hardened. Mm-hmm. I've been hardened by it all.
Got a question for you, though, Rob.
Go ahead.
What if you were in his place, his or her place? Would you feel like that this was more important, more stakes much higher for you?
If I was in his place and then someone walked by and they didn't give me a nickel or a quarter, I'd understand, because I'd say, you know, when I had bucks, I didn't really give those people too much money either. So I'd understand why they wouldn't give me anything.
What if you got about 1,000 of those rejections?
I'd try something else. Lou, what do you got to add?
I'd say a couple of points I'd like to make. You know, speaking personally for myself, and probably a lot of other people think that, is, you know, the reason a lot of people are apprehensive about giving people change or a couple of bucks is I think it really does bother them what they might spend it on. And they think they might be saving them a little bit of, you know, a little bit of torture.